from the nation's capital, this is DC Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. Ladies and gentlemen, the show topic today is employing ex-offenders. We have two people under our supervision here at the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency and a job development specialist to talk about this whole process of employing people caught up in the criminal justice system. We have Kenyon Blakely. He is with the Department of Human Resources, the DC Department of Human Resources, as a support services assistant. We have Kenneth Trice. He is with the Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church. He is with facilities or doing facilities and maintenance. And we have Tony Lewis, star of the Washington Post and lots of other media. He is a job development specialist here at the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency, www.csosa.gov, www.csosa.gov. On the front page of our website, we have radio shows, television shows trying to entice employers into a discussion. It's called crowdsourcing in the social media world to try to gain some sense of perspective as to what it takes for us to employ or to prompt the employment of people under our supervision. On any given day, we have 14,000 people under our supervision. In a given year, 23,000, but half are unemployed. Tony Lewis, your job is a job development specialist for CSOSA. Welcome.
Welcome. I mean, thank you for having me, Mr. Sipes.
I really appreciate all of you guys being here to have this discussion, an extraordinarily important discussion. Tell me, how easy is it to convince employers to hire people under our supervision?
It's not that easy. It's pretty difficult, actually. You know, the analogy that I always use is it's like as if I have a store, right? And all the merchandise in my store is perceived to be broken. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to convince the customer to buy it. Mm-hmm. Because I have faith in it. I know that it works, but to them, they feel like it's broken. So typically, that's what I do every day, all day, is trying to convince people that something that they perceive to be broken is not necessarily broken, and it actually can get the job done. And I think we have a lot of talent that in terms of our client base. We have a lot of motivated people, talented people that are ready to go into the workforce.
Now, I've been doing radio and television about the criminal justice system for about 20 years, and I have spoken to hundreds of people under supervision, who used to be under supervision, who are currently employed, and their lives are going along just peachy.
Sure.
We know that the research indicates that when they're employed, the more they're employed, the better they do under supervision, the less they recidivate, the less they come back into the criminal justice system. It's a win-win situation for everybody.
Yes.
You and I have both talked to hundreds and hundreds of people who have successfully made that transformation from the prison system to being good citizens through employment. So what's wrong with our message? What are we doing that we're not doing that we should be doing to prompt people, employers, to hire people under our supervision?
I think it's not even, to me, I think we're taking all the proper steps. I think what happens is that there's a stigma associated with people that have been previously incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
And so when one person or two people, you know, so to speak, that happens to get an opportunity and blow their opportunity or reoffend, I think it has such a much more significant impact than 100 people to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the issue more so than us not taking the proper, because we're preparing our offenders that we supervise. We're taking them through steps for them to prove their commitment. We're presenting talented and people with the proper skill set to do the job. But and I think hiring policies across the board is probably the biggest barrier, because hiring policies take like such a broad stroke in terms of, have you ever been convicted of a felony? Or, you know, it's no case by case basis. People are not looked at as individuals. They're grouped into these pools, and they're put into groups where these stereotypes are really prompted by one or two individuals that made bad decisions. And so I think we got to chip away at the hiring policies and maybe look to redefine those.
www.csosa.gov is a website. On the website, you're going to find radio and television shows, again, designed to prompt that conversation with the employment community. We're inviting people to come and talk to us and give us information in terms of what it is that we can do in terms of making it easier for people to hire people under our supervision. I'm going to go to our two gentlemen who are currently under supervision, when we have Kenyon Blakely, as I said, and Kenneth Trice. Gentlemen, either one of you can go and run with this question. So everybody not everybody. There's a lot of people out there who have the stereotype that people who are caught up in the criminal justice system, I'm just not going to deal with them. I'm not going to hire them. I don't care about them. I'm not going to support programs for them. It's a little harder when you're sitting here face to face, as I've talked to literally thousands of people who are doing well, who are once caught up in the criminal justice system, but now they're doing well. People use the word criminal. Well, that applies to both of you. They say, I'm not going to hire criminals. So I'm going to start off with Kenneth. Are you a criminal? Is that how you see yourself?
No, Leonard, I'm not a criminal.
Okay.
I just made bad judgments. Right. And now I'm okay.
And you're okay because of why? Because of how? What happened? I mean, you're with one of the greatest faith institutions in Washington, D.C., the Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church. I mean, it's known not just throughout the District of Columbia. It's known throughout the country. Is that how you were able to cross that bridge, by working with them?
No. It came from my CSO.
Your community supervision officer?
Yes.
Okay. Otherwise known as parole and probation agents for everybody listening throughout.
Yes.
Beyond D.C.
It started with him. He put me on GPS, leg, ankle bracelet. And,
right, global positioning system monitoring.
And then he referred me to the vote unit. And from there, I went into Project Empowerment. And from there, I got placed at Greater Mount Calvary. From there, I was just in the program. And then once my time was up, they picked me up. I started as a part-time worker. That phase lasted for maybe 4-5 months. Then mm-hmm. they hired me full-time, benefits and everything. And now I'm just focused. It's all about determination, perseverance. You just got to be, you got to know what you want.
Right.
Bottom line.
Right.
If you feel that you're going to do wrong regardless. It's just nature. You're going to do something but you have to, I guess, overlook it, I guess.
What did the job mean to you in terms of crossing that bridge?
Well, it means a lot.
Yeah.
I'm still looked at as maybe an offender.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to call myself a criminal.
Right.
I'm looked at as an offender, but now that I have gainful employment,
mm-hmm.
I feel that another employer will hire me. They may overlook my background, being as though I've been working now.
But you believe that you've proved yourself, that you have crossed that bridge. You are now a taxpayer. You're not a tax burden. You are what everybody in society wants you to be.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how does that feel?
Feels wonderful.
And what message would you give to other people who have the opportunity to employ somebody like you?
Please employ them.
And they would do that because of why? They would employ somebody caught up in the criminal justice system for what reason?
Give them a chance.
Okay.
To prove themselves.
All right. And Kenyon, Kenyon Blakely, again, working for the Department of Human Resources for D.C. Government Support Services Assistant, the same questions are going to go to you. I mean, these are tough questions. I use the term criminal advisedly. I have heard from employers in the past, I'm not going to hire ex-cons, I'm not going to hire criminals. And it is like what they are meaning is that everybody falls into one category. They have a mental image of exactly who they are. They have a mental image of the fact that they're going to create problems for me, thereby I'm not going to hire them. But then again, I sit down with the two of you, and I don't see fangs. I don't see blood dripping from your teeth. I see just two regular guys who are now doing well, partially because of employment, correct or incorrect?
Correct.
Correct.
All right. Well, tell me that. Get closer to the microphone.
I've had jobs. You know, I've been on probably since prior to being on CSOSA, and I went on a bunch of job interviews, went on job interviews this go around.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people pulled me to the side and say, your resume is excellent, your work ethic, everything, but it's just, you know, it's just that background.
Right.
You can't pass that background check.
Right.
Or it's not in my hands, it's in someone else's hands, and
right.
they want to go with it. But they took a chance on hiring them. Why
right.
you can't take a chance on hiring me?
Right.
You have people who have committed no crime ever in life, but their work ethic sucks.
Yeah.
So you have to take a chance on someone. Why not take on a chance with someone who has a lot to lose, but a lot to gain too? Also,
right?
So you know, it's just give and take with it. Like I've had people straight up tell me in my face outside of the office, "I want you. I want you for this position.
Right?
I can't bring you in.
Right?
And they would just tell me, you know, don't stop looking. And I've never stopped looking. I've always had two jobs. I've always had a part-time job on the weekend, and now I have full-time appointment. I've started in a program with Tony almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
I went almost a year in the program, and I got a phone call. I'm like, come upstairs. You're going on an interview. I'm like, interview for what? They were like, people watching you.
That's great. What does the job mean to you in terms of your ability or inability to return to crime?
It was choices that we make. Those choices were wrong. I admit those. I'm the first to admit anything that I've ever done wrong. But now, you know, as a father, I'm a father of two. You know, you just want to be able to not leave them anymore,
mm-hmm.
not to lose everything that you've gained. Lose it over and over and over, come home to have nothing. You know, now I'm building to have everything that I lost to have back. You know, I have a daughter that's 6, I have a son that's 12. I never want to leave them again.
Right.
I never want them to look up and be like, where's my dad? I can't talk to him when I want to, I can't see him. So, you know, those are the things that linger in the back of your head at all times. So when I come to work or them days I don't feel like getting up, those are my get up, let's go.
Got it.
You know, it's no
got it.
Holding back. No, oh, it's cold outside. I don't feel like getting. No, I'm in there every day.
Attorney Lewis, we have credits, tax credits for people
yes.
who do hire people under supervision. We do have a bonding program. There's a federal bonding program that
yes.
mitigates the amount of risk that they have. All of this is available on our website, www.csosa.gov. All right. So from a societal point of view, it is extraordinarily important that people who we supervise find work.
Absolutely. It increases public safety, for one. Like you spoke about, people working or are less prone or less likely to break the law. And these two gentlemen can attest to that. They're in their representation of many people that the ones that we are able to get employed. And the program that they spoke about is a transitional employment program that we have here at CSOSA
mm-hmm.
that's in partnership with the D.C. Department of Employment Services, where we basically place individuals in jobs where we pay their salary. It's a stipend, a subsidized wage, but
mm-hmm.
it gives them an opportunity to audition. And so you can see these people for themselves and not just a person on paper that broke the law in the past. And it may be 10 years ago, maybe 2 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. It gives the opportunity for that person to highlight their skill set, learn new skills, and for people to see them as human beings and not just a quote-unquote criminal. And so the beauty of that program is that that's what it affords. That's what it to no cost to the employer. Now, I know that's not something that exists all across the country, but when people have an opportunity to see these guys every day and to gauge their work ethic and see their personalities and to know that they're fathers and things like that, it really helps the employer to see them in a different light.
But that's the thing that always killed me, gentlemen, and anybody can come into this conversation, is that you can have the image, you can watch the 6 o'clock news and hear the news about somebody doing something terrible to another human being. You can watch the 6 o'clock news, the 11 o'clock news, pick up the newspaper, read the same sort of stuff. There's a certain point you say to yourself, man, the people involved in this stuff, I'm not going to have anything to do with. I'm going to move as far away as I possibly can from them, and I'm just not going to have anything to do with them. But then again, you sit and talk eyeball to eyeball as we're doing now, and you're just regular guys.
Okay,
you're
yes,
not
sir.
The stereotype that you think of at the 6 o'clock news. You're just regular guys.
Exactly.
How can we transmit that, hey, I'm a regular guy. I just need a chance. I understand I screwed up. I understand I made mistakes, but please do not hold that against me for the rest of my life. How do you transmit that information to people who hire?
I think a lot of companies really need to change.
Get closer.
I think a lot of companies need to change their hiring process, not
okay.
just to you got two strikes against you. You have one, either your credit is bad or you're a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Why should those two things stop you from gaining employment? Like, you need employment. If you don't have employment for people,
but they'll turn
to do other things to a life of crime.
They're going to say, but I got plenty of people who don't have those backgrounds. I got plenty of people with good credit without a criminal background. Why am I going to hire the dude?
I got a point for you.
Go, please.
If you have all those people that you work for, do a background check after the fact. A lot of them won't tell you that they have a criminal past after they've been hired.
Mm-hmm.
So you will never know if you don't go back and do a background check every year or so often on an employee. You have employees who've been at companies prior to them getting in trouble, but the company will never know. But they'll be like, oh, once you have the job, it's okay. What you do before,
because they get to know you, they exactly. get to see right. you as a worker. So the criminal background disappears because exactly. all they see is a good worker. How do we get people to that point? But hold that thought, because I want to reintroduce everybody, ladies and gentlemen. This is DC Public Safety. We're talking about employing ex-offenders. We've got Tony Lewis, a job development specialist with my agency, the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency, www.csosa.gov. We have Kenyon Blakely. He is with the Department of Human Resources for the District of Columbia, Support Services Assistant. And we have Kenneth Trice. He is with the Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church. He's with Facilities and Maintenance. How do we convince, again, you know, get beyond the stereotype, get you in there, sit down, talk to you, because all three of us, four of us in this room know that after 6 months, that criminal history disappears. All we have to do is get beyond that point of hiring and that point of success. How do we get to that point?
Give people a chance.
Okay, but there again, they're going to say, once again, I got some people here without a criminal history, and I've got some people here with a great credit background. If I've got to give somebody a chance, I'm going to go with the guy without a criminal history and without a bad credit history. I'm going to increase the odds of a successful employment in their minds by employing the person without the background.
But I think what happens, Mr. Sipes, is that when you find, from a business standpoint, it's about the bottom line, right? So
right.
for me, as a job developer, my thing is to say, I'm not asking for a handout. I'm here to help you by being able to connect you with talent, right? Something that's going to increase your bottom line, going to increase your productivity. And the other part of that is that it's no way, you know, when you hire whomever, no matter what their background is, you don't necessarily know what you're getting. So businesses have to, I think, take a standpoint to say, if this person crime does not have a rational relationship. So let's be very clear. We're not saying if you robbed a bank, you should be able to work at Wells Fargo, right?
Or if you're a sex offender, you should be doing daycare.
Absolutely. Nobody's saying that. But if I have a crime, if I committed a crime 5 years ago that has no relationship to the job, why can't I work there?
We have, the bottom line I want to make is that we have good people right now under our supervision. We have 14,000 human beings under our supervision right now, 23,000 human beings under our supervision in any given year. We've got people right now ready to go who are not a risk to public safety, who sure. have real skills, who don't have drug positives. They're ready to go right now. We can give them tax credits. We can get them involved in the bonding program. Plus, they have their community supervision officer known elsewhere as a parole and probation agent who can help the employer deal with problems if they come up. So
and a vocational development specialist.
And a vocational development specialist, and in many cases training that we and the District of Columbia and other cities throughout the country get involved in. And plus, we have GED programs, we have educational programs, we have job readiness programs. Why would you not come to us if we can deliver a talented person ready to work?
Sure. And sometimes people that you're hiring, even if the person's out of college, sometimes people out of college haven't necessarily, even in my mind, had the training. I mean, I think about the training that we provide here at CSOSA, and I think, like, wow, if I had that going into the job market, like if I learned things, I mean, just whether it's interviewing, whether it's, you know, just gaining a concept of work workplace expectations. I learned that on the fly. We're preparing people to enter the workforce and stay there through our programming. I mean, you know, and even we're taking steps to even interface with people pre-release. Myself and Mr. Blakely, we our first communication started when he was in Rivers Correctional Institution on via teleconference. And then he met with Edie Whittington, and she did what she does, and then he got referred from her to the program. Kenny Trice met with Dr. Sutton, and she did what she does in terms of prepping him, engaging his readiness, engaging his commitment. Then he got referred to the program. So there's rigor in terms of what we do, because when we present people to the workforce, we're trying to present someone that we're going to be confident in, somebody that's already proven to us that they're legit and that they're ready. So it's not just like, hey, somebody gets off a bus from prison and we're sending them to you as the employer and saying, hey, you should give them a job. No, we're taking the proper steps to ensure that whoever we refer to you is somebody that's going to come in and increase your productivity.
Okay, and so anybody can jump in on this conversation. Don't hold back. Okay, so generally speaking, within the District of Columbia, generally speaking, within major cities throughout the country, you have unemployment somewhere around 6 to 8%. We have unemployment at 50%. Sure. Okay, so all the wonderful things that we've just said, bonding programs, tax credits, training, GED, workforce development, you've got all that going for us. You've got a job developer who's going to work with you. You've got a community supervision officer, a la parole and probation agent, but yet you cannot escape the numbers, 6 to 8% versus 50%. Why is that?
I think a lot of people just need to wake up from what they're doing and really understand that you need gainful employment. Like, you can't play around with it. I don't care what it is that you do, but bottom line, you don't want to be too old and not be able to get a job. Like me, I just want to know that I have skills. Every day that I go to work, I'm showing you my skills.
But bottom line, how many people are there like you? Tell me how many.
I think there are over 20,000 in this city that want to work.
All right,
but just
so we got thousands of people right now. No, I can't speak for everybody in the district. I'm talking about people under our supervision here at CSOS. We all know the folks. We interact with them every single day.
Sure.
And we know that some aren't ready. We know that some are still struggling. We know that some are pulling drug positives. We know that some are hanging out in the corner causing problems. Right. We know that, but
we're not talking about
that. We're not talking about them. We're not asking for charity.
Exactly.
Okay, so if we're tossing them off to the side and we're talking about people, real grown-ups who are ready to work and who are going to do a good job for you, how many are we talking about?
I think we, in the city, I mean, under supervision, I think we're probably, out of your 14,000, I think you probably strongly.
Yeah.
Probably half.
Okay, so probably that's half. Seven.
I'm gonna give you 7,000.
7,000 human beings that aren't employed, that are ready to go. They're not employed for what reason?
Some people, I think, they just need a chance, or just some people, they have to show that they want to work, like the work ethic. Like, everybody comes through the program isn't gonna make it. Everybody comes through CSOS, we already know, isn't going to make it.
Right.
You know, you have those who, like, when they come through the door, I'm going to do what I'm going to want to do when I want to do it.
Right.
Life doesn't work that way. Until you get that in your head that you got to follow these rules, because most people, we don't want to get up and go to work. We want to sit home. You know, who does? You have to work. That's just it. I've never been a type person that didn't want
to
work.
I've never been able to figure out how to get around not working.
Right.
I've been looking for that my entire life, and I haven't found it yet. But, you know, Kenyon, I talked to you. You're interviewing perfectly. You're bright-eyed, you know, eye contact, delivering everything perfectly. I would hire you in a second. You know, Kenneth, same way with you. You're looking at me direct. You're interviewing well. I would hire you in a second. What is it that I am getting that everybody else is not getting? Everybody else is sitting out there and saying, okay, dude, look, they're caught up in the criminal justice system. I already told you I'm not going to hire somebody caught up in the criminal justice system.
Most companies just can't get past that.
Is it really that?
The hiring policies, and you especially, Lynn, when we're talking about today's world, via talking about 90% of job searches done via the internet, and you have questions saying, "Have you ever been convicted of a felony?" And a lot of times you check yes, that's it for you. That's the, an eliminator. It doesn't matter how long ago it was. It doesn't matter what you did. It's like no. And especially we're talking about here in the District of Columbia, where you have probably the most bustling job market in the country.
Yeah.
Right? You got the most moved to place in America. People are coming here solely because of the strength of the job market.
Right.
But we have native Washingtonians. We have people under supervision who can't get a job at all. You know what I mean? It shouldn't even be an issue. But at the end of the day, people aren't being judged on their skill set. They're being judged just solely based on a crime.
All right. And there's a certain point. What we're saying is that fundamentally, morally, ethically, that could be wrong, is wrong. But more importantly, we're saying to a business person, because business hires does 80% of the hiring, you're not protecting your bottom line because there are good people that you could be hiring.
Precisely.
You're not making the money you could be making. You're not doing as well as you could be doing because we got 7,000 people ready to rock and roll right now.
So, and 7,000 people, something that Kian brought up, that may possibly work harder than your just normal Joe Blow because they have everything to lose. They're going to value that job because they know they just can't go anywhere and get a job.
And you know how many, you know, in the 20 years of interviewing people, that's one of the most powerful points is that I've got so much to lose. I am not going to screw this up.
Yes.
And that's a powerful incentive. I mean, look, I mean, Kenya just basically said, I'm not going to leave my kids again.
Absolutely.
And we're not talking about just people under supervision. We're talking about the fact that most people under supervision got kids.
That's right.
So we're just not talking about them. We're talking about
families.
Kids. So now instead of the 7,000, let's times it by two just to be on the average. So now we're talking about 14,000 human beings.
Yep.
Let alone spouses, you know.
Sure.
Another 7,000.
Sure.
We're up to 20,000
sure.
people.
Sure.
We're up to 20,000 people affected, and their lives are coming to a halt because you're saying to yourself, Mr. Employer, this guy 10 years ago committed a burglary. I'm not touching him.
Sure.
Exactly. Is that it? Is it that stark? Is it that real?
That's exactly. That real.
Okay. And what we got to do to get beyond that reality is what, gentlemen? How do we convince them? Give them a chance.
Just give them a chance. But and like me, for me, for instance, my last interview that I went on, they looked at everything. They asked me questions about it. They went straight to it. And I told them, if you give me a chance, I won't let you down. Everybody that sat in front of me, it was four people on the panel.
Mm-hmm.
I left out. An hour later, I got an email, offer letter and everything, you know, just like, we're going to give you a shot. It was two other people, and they gave me the shot, and I was happy. And I told from this day to this day, they're still looking at me like, Ken, you in here? I'm trying. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to, like, I've been at my job almost a year.
Right.
Come from, my first agency was, matter of fact, agency for public affairs.
Yeah.
And I was under the mayor's office. I worked for partnership, Office of Partnerships and Grant Services. And then now I work for DC Department of Human Resources. And,
mm-hmm.
like, I've met so many people through the agencies, all through district government. And, you know, just they don't know your story until you talk to them. And then when you give them insight, they're like, wow, like, you came from that to this?
Yes,
I did. Like, a lot of people can't walk in those shoes.
Tony, you got 30 seconds before we have to wrap up. I'm going to give you a chance to close. What do we say to people? What do we say to employers? What do we say to their husbands and wives? What do we say to get them to give people like Kenyon, like Kenneth, the chance?
Bottom line is that we have talented, motivated people that can potentially bring new ideas, can increase your productivity, and in an overall sense, I think it's just better for society and our community when we have people gainfully employed. It leads to a safer environment. It leads to a more productive environment. And you know, we need everybody who can help should. And I think we're moving in the right direction. And at the same time, the people that we supervise also have to be accountable. accountable to continue to do the right things and not reoffend.
Everybody's got to pull together.
Absolutely.
Everybody's got to row the same boat in the same direction.
Yes, sir.
All right. Gentlemen, I really want to thank you very much for being with us today. It's an extraordinarily important topic. I do want to remind all of our listeners, again, at our website, www.csosa.gov, we have a series of radio and television shows where we talk about this issue of hiring people under supervision. We really do want people to call us, contact us, let us know how we can do a better job of preparing people to be employed with their company. You can always give me a call, 202-220-5616, 202-220-5616. Ladies and gentlemen, this is DC Public Safety. We appreciate your comments. We even appreciate your criticisms, and we want everybody to have yourselves a pleasant day.